Welcome. It's so good to see you here today. Welcome to part two of our series, Next, where we are exploring where we are on our spiritual journey and what our next step is. I believe there's a lot of people that don't know where they are and what their next step is, and so we're answering those questions in this series. Let me just pause right here and welcome all those that are joining us online every week here at Crosspoint. So glad to have our online campus. Good to have you in the house, but also good to have many by way of their phones or gadgets, whatever, computers. Amen. Thank you. So glad to have you along for the ride. Really excited about what I want to share today. It may be somewhat familiar to many of you. We have a concept we have as a church to do ministry by, and that is based on the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. We are a Great Commission church. I think it's extremely important as we travel through this journey that we're on that we make sure that we reiterate from time to time what we're here for, what the goal is, what our purpose is, what we're doing, what we're trying to accomplish. And it translates not just in the corporate sense of church, but individually it speaks to God's purpose for our life. This is a three-part series. We're going to conclude next week of this series. And then the next Sunday, 2 weeks from now, we're going to be having what we call our encounter service. It's a fifth Sunday month. We're going to be enjoying communion together. It's going to be a great time of just encountering the presence of the Lord. And but also, I'm excited because I'm going to do a standalone message that's not part of a series. And I tell you what, I was awakened this morning about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I couldn't type fast enough as I felt like God was just pouring into me what he wants to say to us in a couple weeks. So you don't want to miss that one. My heart's so full. I'm telling you, God's got something to say to us that it's going to be powerful. I believe today is going to be powerful. Anytime we're in God's Word, it's powerful. Amen? And so, listen, we're having a blast here at Crosspoint. A couple of weeks ago, we had a great Easter service, and we had many that came to Christ. And then, in fact, several that actually came to our growth track and took the next step with their relationship with the Lord and joining our growth track and starting on the journey. Last week, it was followed up by a powerful time of water baptism, and what a great time we had as people were water baptized. We actually had one that was spontaneous, went home wet. Didn't know he was going to go home wet, but he went home wet. That was just awesome. And understand that we had a 7-year-old that was in our Crosspoint Kids and came in in our service and saw the water set up, became really inquisitive. What is that all about? And it had the opportunity, one of our Crosspoint Kids leaders had the opportunity to speak and share and just spent some time breaking that out and what that means. And he had committed his life to the Lord, and so he stepped up. You know, nothing prepared in the way of a change of clothes, stepped in the water. Man, that's the way you do it. He did it right. So proud of Julian. And so isn't that great? And then Grant was water baptized. We just had a great time last week. And the best is yet to come. Amen? And so, amen. Come on. Yeah, the best is yet to come. So we're really excited about what God is doing. I want to give you a scripture as we begin and open up this installment today from Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. And Paul says this, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. So he has started on this journey, but he says, I haven't taken hold of it. There's still more ahead. There's more that I want to take hold of. And we're going to talk about what he means by it. What does he mean when he says taken hold of it? Now, if you think you've got it and you've got everything there is and you got it all, well, then, you know, bless your heart, because I guess you're just about to go to heaven or something. I don't know. But for all of us, there's always more. There's more for us to reach forward to. And he says, but this one thing I do is this, is that is that I'm forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. So the straining. So there's some energy that needs to be put behind this. And so then he goes on to say, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now he says, I press on toward the goal. So there is a goal. Now, we've got to understand, there is a specific goal for us to attain. Paul says, I haven't attained it yet. What is it? There is a goal. It's important for us to know that we're not just drifting aimlessly through life, barely surviving, just muddling through it. No, there is a specific goal for us, each and every one of us, to reach. And we need to know what that goal is so we know how to run to it. And we need to know kind of where we are on the field as far as obtaining that goal. So today, I want us to unpack really what that looks like. And really, it's God's plan for your life. I want to define it, what that it is, and that Paul says, I've not taken hold of it, and he's pressing towards it. God's plan for your life, listen to this, has been in his heart for thousands of years. God has a specific plan for your life. It's been in his heart for thousands of years, and it has never changed. There is a specific goal that he has in mind, a goal line for your life. Now, to see this, first of all, I want us to look at the story of Moses that begins with the bondage of Israel. And we know that story, how Israel was in bondage for 400 years, the Hebrew slaves there under the hard taskmaster of the Pharaoh there. And they were under all this slavery, and there they were as slaves. In fact, it's estimated, scholars estimate, that there were 4 million Hebrew slaves in Egypt, living as slaves in Egypt. We've all seen the movie, you know, of the Ten Commandments. Usually comes on the night before Easter Sunday, and where they show these slaves and all that they were going through. And we know that they were responsible for building many of the great wonders of the world. The pyramids were built by Hebrew slaves. But we know that God raises up a deliverer, Moses. He is on the backside of the desert, and he is there that God raised him up, and Moses had this encounter. We know how God spoke to him through a bush that was burning, and yet it didn't burn up. And God said, I want you to go and deliver my people out of bondage. And as he spoke to Moses, Moses was saying, well, wait a minute, I know Pharaoh, he's not going to let them go. And which is exactly what happened. But God had a plan to release the children of Israel out from under that bondage. And he was raising Moses up to be a deliverer. And so God had a plan for bringing them up out of this. And can I tell you something? God has a plan for bringing us up out of bondage. And you may be here with mud on your shoes and feeling like you're a slave to all of your circumstances and all of your past. But God has a plan to set you free. And so I want us to see this. So God has a plan. God's plan was not for you to be a slave. God's plan for you is not to have mud on your shoes. Come on, serving the Pharaoh. And so that's not God's plan for you. So I want us to see. So as God's calling Moses and he's beginning to tell them what to tell Israel that the plan is and what he wants for them, that he doesn't want them to remain slaves, but he wants something better for them, he gives them these instructions to communicate this and the heart of God to Israel. And it's found in Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. For some of you that have been through this part of the growth track, this will sound very familiar. All right, we shared about this. In Exodus chapter 6, it says this, therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. And so God is saying, I've got a plan for your life. And then he says, and I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. So here they were, people that were in bondage, and they had a slave mentality. They were in all this bondage. In fact, you look at Leviticus, there was many things that God told Israel to do, and it had to kind of reteach them because They didn't even know how to take care of themselves in some circumstances. They were just slaves, and God had to teach them how to live. But within this verse, within this message, there are four I wills. Four I wills. And so God said to Israel, when he brought them up out of Egypt, to remember what I've done for you. To remember that. And so they would set up a day of remembrance. It was kind of like Independence Day, where they were going to stop and have a party and celebrate and remember how God had delivered them. And that celebration was called Passover. And Passover is full of customs and sayings and rituals. And even to this day, the Jewish community celebrates Passover. But in that Passover celebration, there are many elements to it. But at the center of it, there are four cups that are celebrated. And those cups are where they take the wine and they drink it. And each of those cups correlates to this scripture that I shared, to these I wills. So in that scripture, there are found four I wills that correlates with that. And so I want to go through those. The first cup, when they're in Passover, and they're remembering God delivering them and setting them free, which speaks of God's plan and purpose, not only for their life, but also for our life today. I'm going to show it to you. You see it. We see it not just then, but even today, it's God's will for our life. First of all, there is the cup of, they call it the cup of sanctification. The cup of sanctification. And it's where God said, I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I'm going to bring you out from under that yoke. So that's the I will. I will bring you out. I've got to get you out of there. And so that word sanctification, some people think it just means holy. Well, actually, the word sanctification means simply set apart. So I've got to set you apart. I've got to get you out of there. Set apart. You're not, that's not what you're to be used for. You're not a slave. I got to set you apart out of there. It's like fine china. Yeah, have anybody got fine china that you never use? You know, it's just set apart because it ain't paper plates. It's fine china. It's set apart for a special purpose, for a special use. God has called us to be set apart. We're not of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're set apart. And God says, you're not slaves. That's not who you are. I got to pull you out of that. I got to set you apart. And so they call that, again, the Jewish community calls it the cup of sanctification. And then the second cup is based on the second I will there, and that is the cup of deliverance. The cup of deliverance. Again, the first cup is the cup of sanctification. Second cup is the cup of deliverance. And it's based on the scripture where he says, I will free you from being slaves. So the second I will. I will free you. So not only has he got to get us out of Egypt, he's got to train us on how to live with dignity and respect. And he's got to get Egypt out of our heart. So he's got to change our mentality. He's got to change our perspective, where we think we're slaves and we have a slave mentality and we're used to thinking a certain way. God's got to deliver us from that mentality and that slave mentality. He needs to get that out of us. So he gets us out of Egypt, but he's got to get Egypt out of you, right? Out of us. So there's the cup of deliverance. And then there's the third cup, and that is the cup of redemption. The cup of redemption. And so that's the third I will, where he says, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. Now look at, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. Why has he got to redeem you with an outstretched arm? Because the world and whatever our past is and whatever that looks like, we've gotten so far from God that he's got to reach way down for us. He's got to reach down in the mud pit. In other words, where he is or where he wants us to be is far from where we are. And God has a plan to reach down. About one scripture says he'll stoop down and lift you up and make you great. Isn't that awesome? So God, with a mighty arm, he reaches out and with mighty acts of judgment, which means instead of judging you, he's going to break off the judgment off of you, right? God is going to redeem you and restore you to your original purpose. So you don't belong, let me just say this, you don't belong in a mud pit. You don't belong, let's just say, you don't belong in the toilet bowl, all right, after you made some bad decisions the night before. Can I tell you, God wants better for your life. Amen. God wants to redeem you up out of that place and make you great. I mean, think about Israel, how God lifted them up out of a place of slavery. When you start studying what all God has done for the nation of Israel, it's absolutely amazing. Did you know that the Jewish people account for 22% of all Nobel Prizes? 22%. As a whole, the Jewish people only represent 0.2% of the population on the earth, and yet they account for 22% of Nobel Prizes. Isn't that awesome? I mean, think about it. And that's not just about a people. That's about a great God who stoops down to take you and lift you up and make you somebody. So I don't know what the enemy has told you, that you're a nobody and you're nothing, and because of your failures and your mistakes and the sins of the past, that you can never accomplish anything and you can never be anybody. Can I tell you something? It's in the heart of God to lift you up, come on, to deliver you and to redeem you back to what God always had in mind for you to do and be and accomplish. Amen. So the cup of redemption, it's just great. It's just amazing. It says, you know, we'll give that scientist an ability and they discover something, invent something, boom, Nobel Prize. Man, that's just, come on, somebody. That's just awesome. Awesome. That's our God. But let me tell you something. It's not, again, it's not just for them. Hear me now. It's for you. It's for me. It's for anyone that was willing to allow God, come on, to redeem them and bring them up. It's his plan. Number four, look at this, and that is the cup of praise, the cup of praise. So when Passover is celebrated, there is the cup of praise, fourth cup. In Exodus chapter 6 and verse 7 says, I will take you as my own people and I will be your God. Looks like two I wills there, I will there, but it's actually one thought. And that is, I will take you as my own people and I will be your God. This cup is actually oftentimes referred to as the cup of Hallel. It's where we get the word hallelujah, the Yah part meaning God, and then the first part, a celebration. It's a celebration of God. And you say, well, how can you celebrate? Well, when you're a part of a people and you have a great God, listen clearly. You're a part of a plan where you say, now I'm living life, and I'm fulfilled in living life, and I'm with a bunch of people that together is fulfilling, and we're making a difference, and we have an awesome God. That's something to celebrate. That's something to say, hallelujah. It's a cup of celebration, also called the cup of celebration. It's something to celebrate, and that's what God's plan always has been for us. It's a wonderful story. And God, listen though, God never intended this just to be a story. It's always been in the heart of God. It's still in the heart of God today. In fact, when Jesus came to this earth, he died on the cross, he was raised from the dead, and then as he's about to ascend to the Father, he has some last words and some instructions for his disciples. We call it the Great Commission. And he says, go and preach the gospel. What is that? Get them out of Egypt. He wants people to be, we call it, saved. Come on, saved up out of that place. And then he said, those that believe, baptize them. So bring them to a place of deliverance. And then he goes on to say, disciple them. And then he goes on to say, send them out. Now making a difference on this earth. The Great Commission, it isn't new. It's been in the heart of God for thousands and thousands of years. It's always been in the heart of God. These four things that he spoke to Moses, that Jesus spoke to his disciples, we see it throughout many scriptures. It's all in the heart of God. God's plan for you. So God has a specific plan for your life. So I want to give you a scripture as we talk about what this looks like, this journey that we're on. Ephesians chapter 1 in the Message puts it this way. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. And I love that. In Christ. Let me tell you something. It's only in Christ that you can find out God's plan for your life. It's only in Christ. The Bible tells us it's in Him we live and move and have our being. It's found in Him. It's not in college. It's not in books. It's not on the internet. All that's good. It's great to get education and kind of get skilled for where you're going. But God's plan for your life, listen, it isn't found in just information. It's found in Christ. It's in a relationship with Him where that is revealed to you. And so I just encourage you. God wants to take us on this journey. And I just, as a pastor, my role here is really just to be your tour guide. Come on. We're gonna travel around and find out, look, we're not supposed to be in Egypt stuck in the mud pits. We got some things and places to go that God wants us to discover and experience. And we're just going to, come on, higher heights that He wants us to climb. Higher heights that He wants us to experience in life. And so I'm just kind of your tour guide as your pastor to say, man, look at this and look at this and look where God wants to take us and what God's plan for us is and lift us up into higher heights in Him. In fact, as at Cross Point here, we believe that our success is defined by people moving up out of the mud pit. Come on, out of one place into another place and going through this journey and these steps that God wants to take us through, where people move from place to place. It's where God takes people from where they are to where God wants them to be, right? That's exciting. That's why I'm celebrating. Come on. People coming to Christ around here, people being water baptized, people getting on the growth track and finding out their purpose. We celebrate. That's what this thing is all about. And so I want us to go back to the four cups and show you how it relates to you and I. And because some of us, honestly, I think perhaps could be serving the wrong master. Come on. Devil's got us in the mud pit. Circumstances got us in the mud pit. So let's break this down a little bit. As we look at these four cups, what does that mean for us? Number one, write this down. It's God's plan, God's purpose for your life is that you be saved and set free. Number one, be saved and set free. So we put it this way, and you could write this little extra here. Our language around here is this, that we believe that most importantly that people should know God. We want you to know God. That's what Sunday morning is about. We want you to have a relationship with God and enter into that relationship with Him where you know Him. It's most important. Jesus said there will be many, and He's talking about church folks here because that's kind of who He described, will say to me that day, Lord, we did this for you and that for you and all these things we did for you and we served you. And Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you. That's a scary verse. I never knew you. So the goal here is that you know Him. We're talking about what's the goal? Number one, that we know God. Salvation is the first cup. Jewish custom is called sanctification. We call it salvation. We're talking about the same thing for our purposes that, in other words, I got to get you out of there, right? In fact, Jesus replied this in John chapter 8 and verse 34. Jesus said this, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And so I'm not a slave. If you're sinning, you're a slave to sin. That's what Jesus said. And so how could it be that you're still a slave? I want to read you a scripture that's found in the Message from Titus chapter 3. It says this, it wasn't so long ago that we ourselves were stupid and stubborn, dupes of sin, ordered every which way by our glands. Don't you love the Message? Y'all know you can learn how to make Rice Krispie treats reading the Message. Okay. Anyway, I just love how plain it puts it. And is that the truth? We're just slaves to it. Going around with a chip on our shoulder, hated and hating back. But when God, our kind and loving Savior, stepped in and saved us from all that, it was all His doing. So we talked about that last week. It's His grace, His work, not our work. It's by grace that we're saved. We had nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. He gave us a good bath, and we came out of it new people, washed inside and out by the Holy Spirit. Our Savior Jesus poured out new life so generously. God's gift has restored our relationship with Him and given us, look at this, back our lives. Some of us just want to get our lives back. He's given us our lives back. And even it goes on beyond that and says, and there's more life to come, an eternity of life. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? So some have experienced that cup, but here's the next cup, and that is that we have not experienced this second cup, and that is that we need to go on to be healed and delivered. Number two, write that down, be healed and delivered. So in other words, we need to find real freedom. So we're out of Egypt. We got to get Egypt out of us, right? And say, what are you saying? I got to be delivered. I got a demon or something? Maybe. I don't. I'm just saying. Sometimes we got wounds. We got things. We're living in a way. I'm so convinced there's many Christians that live way beneath our privilege. We live way beneath our privilege. We're saved on our way to heaven, but we still got mud on our shoes. And we still think we're a slave. We still think we're a pauper, and we have no choice, and we're addicted, and we're bound by our past, and there's nothing we can do. My granddaddy was this way, and his granddaddy was that way, and my circumstances, and you don't understand. If things were different, and that was different, and if this would change, and that would change. But I'm just a slave to where I am. And I just feel like the Holy Spirit wants me to tell somebody today, that's not who you are. The world has tried to give you a name that is not the name that God has given you. They've tried to rename you and tag a name on you based on whatever the past is or whatever your circumstances is dictating even currently that you are. The Bible tells me that there's a new name written in heaven. God's given you a new identity. He's given you a new heart. You're a new creation in Christ. All the old is past and everything has become new. Somebody needs to hear that today. I just feel like preaching right now. Somebody needs to hear that today. Devil just wants to pull you back. Pull you down. There's some wounds and there's some issues there. But Jesus has come to set you free. In fact, one place he said, I've come to destroy the works of the enemy. Not tolerate, put up with him, rent a room in the back to him, come on, let him hang out with you a while, just tolerate him, kind of compromise. No, he said, I've come to destroy the works of the enemy off of you. He said, he that sins is a slave to sin. And here's what he goes on to say. In Luke chapter 4, 18, he tells what his purpose for coming is. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim, look at that, freedom. Freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind to release the oppressed. Look at that. Isn't that awesome? To release the oppressed. He's come to set us free. He goes on in John chapter 8, verses 34 through 36, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. I've shared that with you, but goes on to say, now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. And he says this, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. God has a plan for you, for His people, to find freedom. And His plan for you involves, listen to this, His plan for you to find that freedom involves other people. Because James chapter 5 tells us that if you confess your faults to one another, if you confess your faults to another person, you'll experience healing. And that's why we do small groups around here. We do not have small groups just because you need something else to do. Right? I don't know about you, but I don't need another meeting. I don't need just another Bible study just to have another Bible study to gain information, right? To hear another lesson and not be get the place where you can get honest and transparent and accountable in relationship with someone. Listen to this. The goal of small groups is not information. The goal of small groups is relationships. You've heard me say this before, but we need to stay focused on what we're here to do. So that in that small group, you find the time where in the moment where you can get comfortable enough with someone and say, guess what? This isn't what it looks like. And I need help. And then what you'll discover is that other person will say, guess what? Me too. And you'll say, you too? And then together, you begin to help one another. And you begin to grow. I'm not about playing church and coming in and looking the part and talking the part. I believe this needs to be a place where we get real with one another and where real help is found. It's not a place where you got to come in and have mask on and got it all together, got the suit on, everything looks good, you know. No, church should be a place. In fact, sometimes it could be one of the most fake places there is where people just kind of fake it. Listen, we need to be a place where it's a safe place where we can get real and get help and pour into one another and pray for one another and cry with one another and encourage one another and lift one another up and build one another up. Come on, everybody. That's what we're here to do. So we want to help you find freedom. Otherwise, you'll just be a first cup Christian for the rest of your life, missing the best part of the journey. See, God doesn't just want you just to get to the 10-yard line. He wants you to, come on, make it to the goal line. And he's laid out for you what his plan for your life is. And so take this journey, right? And let God settle your yesterday so that you can have a tomorrow. Number three, write this down. Be discipled and equipped. So number two, we want people to be healed and delivered, so we want you to find freedom. Make sure you got that written down, find freedom. And then number three, be discipled and equipped. And write this somewhere beside that, discover purpose, discover purpose. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says, our lives are gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him. So we should be reflecting Christ more and more. We should be more like him. Come on. We should look like our Father, right? We shouldn't, kids will reflect who their parents are. You ever notice that? Not just in appearance, but also in behavior and in values and all those things. So a husband and wife, when they hang out more together, they begin to look like each other and talk like each other and finish each other's sentences and all those things, right? Guess what? The closer you get to God, you should be reflecting who he is and look more like him than the father of lies, because there's another father out there, the devil, right? Father of all lies, right? So we're not looking like that. We're looking more like Christ. So that's the goal. So the goal in this is to get close to God, to grow. So how do we do that? Well, the church is called to help you in that role also in growing. Ephesians chapter 4 says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So grace, and that word grace actually is the word charis, what it means is gift. There's gifts that God gives us. So that's not talking about the amazing grace we sing about. It's talking about a gift that God gives us. So there's a grace that God gives us, and it's gifts. It's been given as Christ apportioned it. And then it goes on to explain that God gave pastors to prepare God's people for works of service. And so we have a role in that. That's why we have the growth track. So I would encourage you, get on the growth track today. Step three is today, and it's an awesome one. I love today's. It's the most my favorite, and that's where we'll help you discover and do personality assessment and a gift analysis and help you to discover what God has gifted you to do, and you begin to explore that, and you begin to discover your purpose. It's a game changer. What we'll do is help you discover your design, and design reveals destiny. I find out how I'm made, and it will reveal what I'm supposed to do. So again, I encourage you, get on the growth track in step three today and discover your purpose. And it's the most ultimate part of this is not just discovering it, but listen, is when you actually begin to do it. And what you're doing actually makes an eternal difference, whatever that looks like. You find out where it is that God has gifted you, and maybe you're behind a camera, or you're behind a computer, or you're doing some production stuff, or you're up on stage singing, or you're in the parking lot, or you're in the nursery taking care of babies or caring for kids. You find out where your giftedness is. Maybe it's on the prayer team, but you find where that is, and you serve. Can I tell you, that's when everything becomes fun and exciting. And that's when you understand that everything that we do around here in every area is extremely significant. So what that means is if you're in the nursery and you're changing diapers, but it allows a mother to be out here and not be distracted, but to be able to focus on who Jesus is and discover who he is and accept Jesus in that mother's heart, can I tell you that your role changing that diaper is just as significant as my role here on this stage? I want us to be clear about that. It's just as important, right? When somebody drives up on the property and there's a greeter there that exudes the love of Christ and excitement and the joy of serving Jesus, and that is that they encounter that environment as soon as they walk on these grounds and they realize, oh my goodness, I could very well be home here. Can I tell you, when they come in and then they realize the forever family, you have just as much a part of that as the people singing up here on this stage. Amen? It's huge. It's huge. In fact, I was told last week and last couple weeks, I've been getting people giving me feedback about how friendly everybody is and how they just, how warming, how welcoming. I heard somebody came on Easter Sunday and they said they came from a mega church, and I got nothing against mega churches. I'm hoping we get to be a mega church because the goal is to win people to Jesus. But they said they had people friendlier at our church than they did in the last 4 years at their church. Now, I don't know what church that is. I'm not going to try to find out. But I'm just thankful that you guys are getting it and we're making a difference. I just want to thank God for you. Can you just come and give a hand clap of appreciation for yourself? I appreciate you and what you're doing. And the greatest fulfillment is that when you are not only just discovering, but you're doing it. So number four, write this down. Be empowered and fulfilled. Be empowered and therefore be fulfilled. So write this somewhere to the side of that. Make a difference. Make a difference. Ephesians chapter 1 says this, and it's a prayer. And we actually see God's will even in this. And he says this, I pray that your eyes, the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. And so that's what our hope is here at Crossport. When you walk in, you encounter his presence. When you drive on the campus, you say, oh my, I sense God's presence here. Oh, and that's the goal of our prayer team, is to pray that whatever has blinded you, whatever offense in the past, whatever your experience is in the past, that whatever the devil's done to hinder your vision of who God is, that gets taken away so that you can have that, oh, my, Jesus, you're real. You love me. So that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope. What's that? That's that first cup. Know him. Know the hope to which he has called you. The riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. You have a glorious inheritance. I love that. A glorious inheritance. You know, there's gifts that some of you have been given and never opened. That's just rude. Think about it. You ever have somebody, if somebody gave you a gift and you never opened it, wouldn't that kind of be rude? You know? God's given us gifts to discover. He's given us inheritance, a glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power. He's empowered us, for us who believe, to go out and accomplish things for his kingdom. I'm telling you, this is God's plan. He wants us to know him. wants us to find freedom, to discover our purpose of who we really are. And then he wants to pour gifts into our lives and use us to make a difference in the lives of others. That's what this whole thing is really all about. But we can't enjoy going up to higher heights and knowing who we are and enjoying all the things that God wants to enjoy until we've partaken of that first cup. So, most important thing is that we've experienced, first and foremost, the cup of salvation, that we know him. And if you don't know if you know him, perhaps you're not sure if you know, if it's a knowing about him or knowing him, I want to help you make sure that you really know him. If you're here in this house or you're watching online, I want to lead you in a prayer that you may know him. So right now, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me give you that opportunity today. I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front. I'm just going to lead you in a prayer right where you're seated. But maybe you're here today and you just need to make sure. You just need to make sure that what you have is not just religion, but you have a relationship. You know him, and he knows you. So this is very personal. This is very personal. It's between you and God. So I'm going to help lead you in that prayer to God. But you just got to mean it. It's got to be personal. I'm just going to help you with the words. That's you right now, but you'd say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you count me in? Would you count me in that prayer? I just want to know who I'm leading in this prayer. Would you just slip up a hand, you put it right back down and say, Pastor, I just want to make sure that I know him. Just put it up and put it right back down. God bless you today. Yes, God bless you. Good job. So proud of you. Great job. If you're watching online, I encourage you to join with us. Could you just pray a prayer simply like this from your heart? Come on, everybody pray it out loud if you would, just for support and privacy. Say something like this. God, thank you for loving me so much that you sent your son to die for me so that I can experience life. Thank you for the gift of life. It's free, but it cost you your life. Thank you for loving me that much. Today I give you my life. I open my heart and I invite you to come in. Forgive me and heal me. Fill my heart and my life. Come on, say that again. I give you my life. And now by faith, I accept you. I accept your forgiveness. I welcome your presence. With all of my heart, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to live in a relationship with you, day by day, moment by moment. Guide me. Help me. Help me now as I follow you. Today I declare you're my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for every person who invited you to come in. And now, Lord, you said if we would open the door, you'd come in. So I thank you, God, that you now reside. You've made everything brand new on the inside. All things are new. So I celebrate with those that made the best decision of their life. And God, I pray over them step by step. Lord, cup by cup, your will by your will. May they follow your will in every area of their life. God, that we, oh Lord, would come to that cup of celebration where we can enjoy what life is really about, and that's following you. That's having your will accomplished in us and through us. God, we praise your name. We praise your name for the promise of life here and the life of eternity, God, with you. Lord, I bless your name. Help us as a church, God. We remain focused on what you have called us to do, to be the Great Commission Church you called us to be. I pray for those watching online. I pray, God, that they'll continue to follow you in every area of their life. They'll go on to know you more and more, grow and reflect you and make a difference. God, we give you all the credit. We give you all the honor and the praise. For it's in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said, amen.